Hello friends, welcome to WeSchool. We are on a very important topic, that is tax. Within tax, we have direct tax as well as indirect tax. And the topic which you are going to cover is GST, which is an indirect tax. Friends, I am sure you must be aware about the basic concepts of tax, taxation, direct, indirect. But I thought I will brush up the basic concepts before we directly dive deeper into GST. So the first question emerges as to what is tax? Tax is a financial charge imposed on the citizens. And this is not a recent phenomenon. It has been carried over since the ancient times when we had the king and his kingdom and the people in his kingdom. So a charge was imposed on the citizens, and that is what is called as a tax. In the present context, tax is the government's main source of revenue. Government is not levying tax for its personal benefit, but it is used for the welfare of the citizens. Tax has to be paid by every citizen who earns income. And that is how the citizens also contribute to the societal welfare. Tax is not voluntary. Tax is compulsory for all those who are supposed to pay the tax based on the income they are earning. So, having understood what is tax, the next concept that we need to understand is taxation. Taxation is a process of imposing tax on the citizens. So, when we have a process, this process is based on some legislation in the country. In our country, we are having two main legislation. One is for direct tax and other is for indirect tax. For direct tax, we have the Income Tax Act 1961, and for indirect tax, we have the recently introduced GST laws. So we are going to see the various components of GST law. So I am sure by now you must be aware, or you must have also brushed up your basic concept on what is tax and what is taxation. Now, just as I said, taxation is not a recent phenomenon. Taxation has existed since the ancient times. And the tax that is collected from the citizen is utilized for the economic growth and public welfare. Now, when it comes to paying of tax, who is supposed to pay tax? Friends, tax has to be paid both by natural persons as well as legal entities. When we say legal entities, these are the entities that has been created out of law. For example, a corporate, a company which has been created out of the Companies Act 2013, a partnership firm, any legal entity which has been created out of law also has to pay tax in addition to the natural persons, that is citizen of the country. And just as I said before, when we talk about tax globally, tax has been segregated into direct tax and indirect tax. So we will see the basic differences about direct tax as well as indirect tax. Now, how should be a taxation system be? Should it be exploitative? Should the government levy huge tax on its citizens so that it will be flushed with huge revenue? Answer is obviously no. A taxation system has to be based on sound principles. A taxation system should help to achieve various socio-economic objectives. So friends, a good taxation system should not only generate the revenue for the government, It should prevent the concentration of wealth in few hands, so that the rich people will not be able to remain aloof. They will have to contribute to the welfare of the people, so that the barrier between the rich and the poor will get reduced. It should encourage savings and create investment. When we talk about common man, the common man should be given an option up to a certain limit, so that he won't evade tax, but he can invest his hard-earned money into tax-saving schemes. These schemes will also provide funds to the government. At the same time, it will provide benefit to the citizens from saving tax, earning interest on their investment. At the same time, the government will be able to get funds for using for development purpose. It should also stimulate industrial growth. Just because the companies earn huge profits, you cannot levy huge tax rate on them. There should be a limit up to which a tax should be imposed on the corporates, so that whatever the revenue that remains, that can be utilized for the industrial growth. It should also promote exports and regulate the imports. When we promote exports, we get tremendous advantage in terms of the foreign exchange revenue. Our balance of payment position gets improved. At the same time, when we regulate imports, we don't have to pay much foreign exchange to the countries from which the goods and services are imported. And it should also nurture domestic trade and commerce. The Make in India movement that is going on is actually taking care of this, providing incentives to the domestic trade and commerce. So that is a basic description of a good taxation system which is prevailing in our country. So now let us understand the basic difference between direct tax and indirect tax. We will classify them on the basis of certain parameters. Now, when we talk in terms of the nature, friends, direct tax is directly paid by the SSE. There is no middleman in that. So whenever a tax SSE earns an income, he has to pay tax out of his income, whereas that is not the case in case of indirect tax. Indirect tax is paid by supplier of goods and services. However, he doesn't have to bear the brunt of the tax that is ultimately recovered from the consumer. So consumer pays indirect tax, but first it is paid by the supplier, and when the consumer buys that product, he actually buys the product with the payment of tax. That is the basic difference between the direct tax and indirect tax. The second important parameter between direct and indirect tax is that tax is payable on a progressive basis in case of a directive tax. Direct tax, what do you mean by progressive and what do you mean by regressive? When we talk in terms of direct tax, that is income tax, that is based on the income. Higher the income, higher the tax one has to pay in case of income tax. However, in case of indirect tax, it is regressive in nature, which means tax is paid by all the consumers equally. So whether you are rich or poor, if a particular good or service attracts tax at a particular rate, everyone will have to pay the tax at the same rate. So that is the second important difference between your direct tax and indirect tax. Direct tax is progressive in nature. Indirect tax is regressive in nature. The third important point of difference between direct and indirect tax is direct tax is levied by central government. That is, the Income Tax Act is directly legislated by central government. However, when we talk in terms of indirect tax, that is GST, it is levied both by the central government and the state government. So we will see more details about this when we come into the units of this particular topic. For example, I already gave you Direct Tax, Income Tax Act 1961 and Indirect Tax, Goods and Service Tax 2017. Here we are having different central government GST, state government GST, union territories GST, integrated GST. So all these basic components of GST we are going to see when we cover the units. However, right, if you have to understand the example, we can say Goods and Service Tax 2017, which was enacted in 2017, which is very recent. The time of collection. When we talk about income tax, it is actually deducted at source, that we call it as TDS, if that particular transaction attracts the TDS section. The SSE has an opportunity to pay advance tax per quarter so that he doesn't land up paying the entire tax at the end of the year. So it becomes the duty of the SSE to pay advance tax quarterly if his income attracts advance tax to be paid on a quarterly basis. And finally, if the total tax that is to be paid before the end of financial year for the total income that is actually earned by the SSE in that particular year. However, when we talk in terms of indirect tax, it has to be paid at the time of sale of goods or services. There is no such postponement of tax. As soon as you buy a good or service, the tax in the form of GST has to be paid when the supply happens. Existence, Income Tax Act is existing since 1961. However, there were various indirect taxes also existing since so many years before. However, there were various problems in its existence, and hence it was decided to combine all these multiple acts that were existing since so many years into one nation, one tax, bring them under one umbrella for the sake of simplicity, for the sake of reducing the tax burden. And various state and central acts were subsumed. Subsumed means bringing them together under one act to make one nation, one tax act in 2017. So that's the reason we say indirect tax in the form of GST is a recent phenomenon. However, that doesn't mean that indirect taxes did not exist before 2017. So indirect tax in the modern form, in the form of GST, existing in India since 2017, and the direct tax, that is Income Tax Act, existed in India since 1961. Now, having understood what is a tax, what is taxation, what is the components of tax, how it is collected, why it is collected, what's the difference between direct tax and indirect tax, now let us go more deeper into the GST Act, which is the indirect tax. As we have already seen, it was enacted in 2017. When we go into the main components of GST Act 2017, we can segregate them into five main components. The first component is Central GST Act 2017, which is popularly known as the CGST. CGST is to levy and collect on intrastate supplies. We'll have to understand the basic meaning of this. What is intrastate? What is interstate? So when we talk about intrastate, it is the supply of goods and services within the same state. When we talk about interstate, it is supply of goods and services from one state to another. So CGST and SGST are levied on intrastate. However, since the levy is from central government, we call it as the Central GST Act 2017. When the levy is from state government, we call it as the State GST Act 2017. Both the CGST and SGST are levied simultaneously on a supply of goods and services within the state. However, when the supply happens from one state to another state, we have another act, which is Integrated GST Act 2017, and the tax that is levied on the supply that happens from one state to another is the IGST. So IGST is levied on interstate supplies of goods and services, and there are some other matters also, like whenever there is an import of goods. So we are going to see these other matters more details when we actually go into the act. But right now, when we talk in terms of the components of GST, the first component we saw is the CGST. The second component we saw is the SGST. The third component we saw is the IGST. Now let us look at the remaining two components. The fourth component is the Union Territory GST Act 2017, specifically applicable in case of Union Territories of India. And this again is for intra-UT supplies and other matters related. So when we talk about intra-UT, means supply of goods and services within the Union Territory. So whenever there is a supply of goods and services or services within the Union Territory, UT GST is levied because of the Union Territory GST Act, that is the UT GST Act 2017. And finally, the fifth component is the GST Compensation to States Act 2017. This is a special act which provides compensation to the states for loss of revenue. Friends, when we say loss of revenue, the GST is a total transformation of the indirect tax system. Initially, before GST, tax was directly levied at the origin, that is, as soon as it was manufactured. So the manufacturing states, the developed states, were actually earning the revenue. However, GST has totally changed the system of taxation. It is a destination based. So the manufacturing state does not get any tax levied on it wherever, when, as soon as the good or services get consumed at the destination, the actual tax gets levied on the consumer at the state of destination. So because of which there was some imbalance that is happening in the form of earning of revenue, and so take care of this aspect and various other aspects which leads to the loss of revenue, the GST Compensation to State Act 2017 has been enacted to compensate states for the loss of revenue, if any, due to the introduction of GST. So we saw the five components of GST. First one was the CGST Act. The second was the SGST Act. The third one was IGST Act. The fourth one, UTGST Act. And finally, the GST Compensation to States Act. All these five components in the form of Act were enacted in 2017. So your book on GST is actually made into five units. Unit 1 has introduction to the goods and services tax. Unit 2 has all the three GST acts coming into one unit, that is the CGST, the SGST, as well as the IGST. The third unit actually will teach you the procedure and levy of GST under various acts. And fourth unit becomes very important from the point of assessment and returns. There are assessments that are done by the assessee as well as by the tax authorities. And this assessment is based majorly on the returns that are supposed to be filed by the assessee. And one interesting unit in the form of unit number 5 is in the form of GST and technology, because when we talk about levying of tax, when we talk about levy of tax in interstate, especially when the goods and services are supplied from one state to another, it becomes a very complex process. And to handle this complex process, there is a specialized technology that is deployed, and for deploying this specialized technology, a separate arm of technology has been created for GST. So we are going to learn that about GST and technology in Unit 5. And friends, one important thing you need to notice, in comparison to the indirect tax system that was existing before GST, post-GST, entire transaction and process are happening online, that is on technology. There is absolutely no manual work that happens in comparison to the voluminous paperwork that used to happen before GST. So these are the five units that we are going to learn and discovers almost everything about GST. So what are we going to learn in Unit 1? What are the learning objectives of Unit 1? The main objectives of Unit 1, that is Introduction to the Goods and Service Tax, are to understand the meaning, objectives, and the features of GST, to understand the subsumption of tax and the benefits of implementing of GST, to understand the structure of GST, to understand the concepts of CGST, SGST, and IGST, to understand the power, functions, and provisions of the GST Council. So this is the basic coverage of Unit 1 with the title of Introduction to Goods and Service Tax, that is GST. Unit 2, we are going to understand the GST Acts in the form of CGST, SGST, IGST. No doubt we'll also understand the UTGST and the Compensation to States Act. What does the Unit 2 GST Acts cover? The learning objectives of Unit 2 would be understand brief definitions of terms and concepts of GST Act, the concepts of aggregate turnover, agent, and other definitions. The most important concepts on the basis of which the GST is levied is the time of supply and the place of supply. So what is the time of supply? What is the place of supply? We are going to understand in Unit 2. Then another important advantage in the form of input tax credit, which actually doesn't put burden of tax on the consumer because of that input tax credit. So what is that input tax credit? What benefits it provides to the supplier as well as to the consumer? We are going to understand that in Unit 2. Then reverse charge. There are two main types of charges that are levied. One is a forward charge, another is a reverse charge. When we talk in terms of forward charge, it is actually recovered from the supplier. However, when we talk in terms of reverse charge, it is recovered from the recipient of the goods or service. So these are the two major types of charges that are levied. So what is a forward charge? What is a reverse charge? We are going to understand in more detail in Unit number 2. And finally, the location of supplier and the recipient of service, because this is also an important factor which decides what rate and how the GST has to be levied on the suppliers or the recipient of service. Next, we move to Unit 3. Unit 3 is procedure and levy under GST. There are certain procedures, there are certain returns, there are certain things to be done under the GST Acts. So what are the main objectives or the learning objectives of Unit 3? Procedure and levy would be to understand the procedure for registration, who are supposed to register, who are not required to register. We are going to understand in Unit 3. Then the different categories of GST registration. There are different category registrations indeed. So we have to understand that before actually deciding what rate of tax which the SSE is supposed to pay. Then the scope of supply and tax liabilities of mixed and composite supply. So just like there are different categories of GST registration, there can be different types of supplies. So the two major types of supply can be in the form of mixed supply and a composite supply. So what do you mean by mixed supply? What do you mean by composite supply? At what rate GST would be levied in case of mixed supply or in a composite supply? That is what we are going to see in chapter unit number 3. Unit number 3 also will cover about computation of taxable value and tax liabilities. So we are going to see some examples on the basis of which we will understand how the tax is computed, at what rate it is computed, at what type of supply is happening, whether it is interstate supply or intrastate supply. So with examples, you are going to study in unit number 3. And finally, the transfer of input tax credit, because as we saw, the tax is first paid by the supplier. However, it is passed on to the final consumer. So how this input tax credit is transferred, how it can be adjusted with the subsequent supplies, whether it's a CGST, whether it's an IGST, or it's a CSGST. So this is what we are going to understand in Unit 3. So Unit 3, you will be getting more ideas about procedure and levy of GST. Then next we move to the Unit 4, that is assessment and returns. This is very important chapter from the point of compliance, because if you fail to compliance, then there can be penalties. So we have to understand what are the different types of assessments, what are the different types of returns, at what periodicity they have to be filed. So Unit 4 will tell us the learning objectives of Unit 4 would be to understand the terms and concepts of assessment, what details have to be furnished when it is an outward or inward supply, what are the matching and reversal input tax credit, what's the concept of annual return and final return, what periodicity they have to be actually filed, and finally, what are the problems on assessment of tax and tax liabilities. So this chapter, this unit will make you very strong as far as the assessment and returns procedural formalities are concerned under the GST laws. And finally, chapter 5, very important, because it is entire GST system is driven by technology, and this is a very high-end sophisticated technology. So GST and technology, Unit 5, the learning objectives of Unit 5 would be understand the terms and concepts of GST network, which we call as the GSTN. This is a specialized network that has been established for providing the IT backbone for the GST system. What are the functions and the powers of the GST network? What are concepts of goods and services, tax suvidha providers? So on one side, there is a strong network. On the other side, for the benefit of the taxpayers as well as the tax authorities, we have another concept of the GST tax suvidha providers, which we also call as the GSV. So GSTN and GSVs are two important entities which are actually facilitating technology for the entire GST system. And finally, we will understand the entire GSP ecosystem, which includes your taxpayers, your tax authorities, your IT systems, and all that would be covered under Unit 5, GST and technology. So overall, all the 5 units are going to provide you all aspects of GST as well as the technology that is supporting the GST. So friends, now let us start with the first unit, that is introduction to the goods and service tax. As we saw before, the learning objectives of the first unit would be to understand the meaning, objectives and features of GST, the subsuming of tax and the benefits of implementing of GST, the structure of GST, the various concepts of CGST, SGST and IGST, as well as the power, function and provision of the GST Council. So here is another important entity, that is GST Council. So what are its powers? What are the functions? That is going to understand, help us understand how the entire GST system functions. So before we go into details about the GST introduction, let me share with you some few facts about GST. Was GST introduced for the first time in our country? Answer is absolutely no. Why? Because France was the first country to implement GST way back in 1954. And after that, over 140 countries of the world have already adopted GST. In our case, India enacted GST Act in 2017, And we are going to see about the genesis and the evolution of GST in the next few slides. So having understood, GST was first implemented in 1954. Subsequently, so many countries have also implemented GST, and we have also done it in 2017. The tax system in India has undergone significant changes for three main reasons. Number one, better compliance. Number two, better enforcement. And number three, easy payment of tax. When I say better compliance, better enforcement, easy payment of tax, the system that was existing before GST was complicated. There were various procedural matters that were getting duplicated. There were various types of taxes on taxes that were levied. The cascading effect on tax was existing. The goods were actually becoming very costly. And finally, the entire brunt of the tax was borne by the consumer, who had to pay heavy price for a product or service. So these are the three major points of the the significant changes that have been brought because of the new GST system. Now we saw in the previous slide how GST had evolved since 1950s. When we talk about India implemented GST in 2017, it was not just a switch and go approach. GST had to take 17 years for implementation, right from its first discussion that happened for proposing GST. Initially, it was proposed that GST would be introduced from 1st of April 2010. However, after several discussions and debates and the bills that were introduced, finally, the GST law was enacted in 2017. From the point of facts, two important facts we need to know. 122nd Amendment Bill of the Constitution of India, the second important fact, officially known as the Constitution 101st Amendment Act 2016, that introduced a national goods and service tax in India from 1st of July 2017, which is popularly known as the Goods and Service Tax Act 2017. India took a significant step in the field of indirect tax reforms. And why this is a significant step, we will consider see that when it comes to the benefit slide in that should come within one or two slides later. Now, the benefits of GST. What are the main benefits? As I said, the tax on tax was levied at different stages of production and distribution, which we call it as the cascading effect or double taxation. Since now GST is directly levied on the destination basis, since there is a provision of input tax credit, the tax that is computed on value add does not let the tax on tax process to happen. And that is what the final product that is actually distributed to the consumer comes with a clean tax that is supposed to be collected for that good or service. So this is what is the first main benefit of mitigating the cascading or double taxation. Because of which, the direct impact of mitigation of cascading effect has come in the reduction of overall tax burden. Since there is no tax on tax, the final consumer doesn't have to pay tax on tax, but the pure tax that is supposed to be paid. And that is how there is a reduction in overall tax burden on the goods and services for the consumer. And because of which, as we see, one tax, one nation, it has brought in uniformity of the tax rates across the country on the goods and services that are supplied, and which paved the way for a common national market. So now there is no discrepancy into the rates that are levied on the tax on the goods and services. There is a common national market, one tax, one nation. It has made the Indian products competitive in domestic and international market. Since the cascading effect has reduced, the cost of the goods and services has reduced. This reduction of cost, improvement of quality has brought the Indian products into the limelight into both the domestic and the international market. And now Indian products are becoming more competitive in comparison to a similar products, similar goods and services existing in the foreign markets. And this has directly boosted the economic growth, because when we talk in terms of competition, since our products are becoming competitive, exports are increasing. We don't have to get the same products in the form of imports, and this has boosted the economic growth. It is easier to administer, as I said before, it is almost 100% online entire payment of tax to return filing. Even assessment is done online. So it is easier to administer because of one nation, one tax, simplified procedures, and everything done online. So there is no confusion, and if at all there is any help required, we have specific entities in the form of GSVs who come out to help and remove the doubts, provide clarification if any to the SSCs. Thank you.